4. Folk Stories of Virgin Motherhood. The Buddha descended from heaven to his mother's womb in the shape of a milk-white elephant. The Aztec Coatlicue, she of the serpent-woven skirt, was approached by a god in the form of a ball of feathers. The chapters of Ovid's Metamorphoses swarm with nymphs beset by gods in sundry masquerades. Jove is a bull, a swan, a shower of gold. Any leaf accidentally swallowed, or any nut, or even the breath of a breeze may be enough to fertilize the ready womb. The procreating power is everywhere, and according to the whim or destiny of the hour, either a hero-savior or a world-annihilating demon may be conceived. One can never know. Images of virgin birth abound in the popular tales as well as in myth. One example will suffice, a queer folktale from Tonga belonging to a little cycle of stories told of the handsome man, Sinalao. This tale is of particular interest not because of its extreme absurdity, but because it clearly announces in unconscious burlesque every one of the major motifs of the typical life of the hero: virgin birth, quest for the father, ordeal, atonement with the father, the assumption and coronation of the virgin mother, and finally, the heavenly triumph of the true sons, while the pretenders are heated hot.
There was once a certain man and his wife, and the woman was pregnant. When her time came to be delivered of her child, she called her husband to come and lift her that she might give birth. But she bore a clam, and her husband threw her down in anger. She, however, bade him take the clam and leave it in Sinilao's bathing pool. Now Sinilao came to bathe and flung the coconut husk that he had used to wash himself with on the water. The clam slid along and sucked the coconut husk and became pregnant. One day the woman, the mother of the clam, saw the clam rolling along toward her. She angrily asked the clam why she had come, but the shellfish replied that it was no time for anger, and asked her to curtain off a place in which she could give birth. So a screen was placed, and the clam gave birth to a fine big baby boy. Then she rolled off back to her pool, and the woman cared for the child, who was named Fatai Going Underneath Sandalwood. Time went on, and lo, the clam was again with child, and once more came rolling along to the house that she might give birth there to her child. The performance was repeated, and again the clam bore a fine boy, who was named Myrtle Twined at Random in the Fatai. He too was left with the woman and her husband to be cared for. When the two children had grown up to manhood, the woman heard that Sinilao was going to hold a festival, and she determined that her two grandsons should be present. So she called the youths and bade them prepare, adding that the man to whose festival they were going was their father. When they came to where the festival was being held, they were gazed at by all the people. There was not a woman but had her eyes fixed on them. As they went along, a group of women called to them to turn aside to them, but the two youths refused and went on until they came to where the kava was being drunk. There they served the kava. But Sinilao, angry at their disturbing his festival, ordered two bowls to be brought. Then he bade his men seize one of the youths and cut him up. So the bamboo knife was sharpened to cut him. But when its point was placed on his body, it just slipped over his skin, and he cried out, "The knife is placed and slips. Do thou but sit and gaze at us, whether we are like thee or not." Then Sinilao asked what the youth had said, and they repeated the lines to him. So he ordered the two young men to be brought, and asked them who their father was. They replied that he himself was their father. After Sinilao had kissed his newfound sons, he told them to go and bring their mother. So they went to the pool and got the clam, and took her to their grandmother, who broke it open, and there stood a lovely woman named Hina at home in the river. Then they set out on their return to Sinilao. Each of the youths wore a fringed mat of the sort called Taufahua, but their mother had on one of the very fine mats called Tuaua. The two sons went ahead, and Hina followed. When they came to Sinilao, they found him sitting with his wives. The youths sat one at each thigh of Sinilao, and Hina sat at his side. Then Sinilao bade the people go and prepare an oven and heat it hot. And they took the wives and their children and killed and baked them. But Sinilao was wedded to Hina at home in the river.